This is Lori Prox of KBAK Radio with Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Clinic and Providence Valdez Medical Center. So thanks for joining us once again, Kathy.
Glad to be here.
With school ramping up this coming next Tuesday, you are on the committee of folks that are going to kind of review what stage we're at in terms of the Smart Start School Reentry Plan. So I just wanted to pick your brain, and I know we've talked about this before, but explain for the public what the process is to kind of evaluate those levels, and then who's on the committee and how that's going to work and the timeliness of it, all of that.
The phasing committee is to be called together to kind of give more input to the superintendent when you make a decision about whether school has to go to all virtual, or yes, it can stay in person, or we've got an epidemic at the elementary school, but the high school can stay in person, or it's not working out because we need to make the cohorts of the kids smaller so that we need to only have half of them in the building at once. And those kinds of decisions. So he likens it to, do we call a snow day or not? And always those kinds of decisions don't just get made by superintendents at 4 a.m. all by themselves. They talk to the city and the snowplow people and the whatever as to, you know, what do the roads really look like. And so this same thing here, he's getting input from Terry Lynch, the public health nurse, Olivia Foster, the hospital infection preventionist, myself, Dr. Alfaro, teachers from each building, teachers from special ed, and the 3 school board members. I think I'm on there with 2 hats on. And so that we have input from all those groups in terms of trying to make a decision instead of him just having to go on his own personal knowledge.
And I believe I talked with Sean about this, that it's not necessarily the numbers on the dashboard of positive cases that determines the level, because you might have a lot of cases in one household with a lot of people, and that's different than having it in multiple households, right? So can you, and I know you are going to have to weigh all of those factors, but what are some of the things that come into play in making a decision?
Yeah, I think I've said before that because we're so small, we can't make decisions based on the state's red areas and orange areas and yellow areas, because we just don't have the people to make that statistically useful. It's going to swing wildly from week to week. But we also have the great advantage of knowing things on the ground real time. So we don't have to wait for the state. The city's now reporting things by talking to Terry Lynch and finding how many people are still in quarantine instead of having to wait for a week or even more than that until it kind of filters through the statistical agencies at the state and gets back to the state bulletin board. So, and besides that, the public health nurse is going to know, we don't have any active cases at the moment, but we still have 20 people on quarantine, and they're all related to a case at the elementary school or whatever. And so we have the micro data that will help us say, whoops, there could be something really big coming, or, you know, we're actually doing pretty well on a basis that's just Valdez, not including Cordova and Fort Yukon in the same statistics.
And the teachers, principals, administrators have this week to prepare for the opening of school academically, medically. What's happening this week to prepare?
Well, I was really impressed when I went to the first things that the school board meeting, and then I went to some of the preparation days that the teachers had about all the things that they have thought about, changing the furnace filters, making the furnaces take in all outside air instead of recirculating the air, how people are going to get to and from their classrooms without all congregating in one area, how they're going to interact with parents when we really can't have all the parents dropping off their kids in the building, because that's, you know, twice as many people in the building sometimes. They've really thought of a whole bunch of details with the advanced group that they had starting at the beginning of August. And now as more people show up having all the teachers now figuring out how that's going to work for their classrooms. For instance, one of the middle school teachers, after one of the sessions, say, I'm going to have a seating chart so I will know who's sitting next to whom. So if somebody comes up positive for COVID, I'll know which kids it is. And somebody else said, I'll do the same seating chart as you have so that when they rotate to my class, they won't be mixed with more kids. They'll be sitting next to the same people. Now, is that optimum for, you know, diversity training and let's all get along together? Maybe not, but it's optimum for everybody getting to keep going to school instead of if one person gets sick, the whole class having to stay home or the whole school having to stay home.
And I know there are reports, well, schools opened and then schools closed because there's a case. And then a lot of chatter, you know, why did they go to school when they were positive? Well, many folks don't know they're positive, and positive doesn't necessarily mean sick. So I know that, but I'm kind of amazed at, for lack of a better word, the ignorance on social media with with regard to much of the info. So what is the plan if someone is positive?
It's going to be a temptation for everybody. I mean, I certainly on a usual year when I had kids in school, you just got a little sniffle, go to school. This year, if you have a little sniffle, stay home.
And a little sniffle does not necessarily mean
resulting kids out of school more, and everybody, you know, wants kids to go to school and not have the back and forth and who are you going to get for a babysitter and all that sort of thing. And so what we're trying to do is make it as easy as possible for people to stay home when they have any little thing and then get it checked out really quickly. If it's something that might be COVID, we're working really hard to increase the amount of testing here in town that could get done same day instead of having to be sent to Anchorage with that inherent delay of the transportation of the samples. And so what we hope is that, you know, you keep your kids home because they've got a little bit of a fever or a little bit of a cough or they're throwing up. And instead of just saying, well, now they quit throwing up so they can go back tomorrow, they can get a test and get the example or get the answer back same day. We're working on this. We don't have it yet. But they would be able to get a negative test and they're over their diarrhea or their whatever they went home with. They don't have a fever anymore. They haven't had a fever for 24 hours. Their symptoms are gone. And they can go back in a day or two instead of having to sit out 10 days, which would happen without the testing.
And I think some of the travel is proving problematic for Valdezans traveling back to Valdez for school and or, you know, work in the district, and not only the district, but here in Valdez. So I wanted to see if we could have you explain the testing from the perspective of the airport, and if you know, once you get tested, if you don't have your results back, then there are different limits, time limits of quarantine, right? So I wanted you to just review that for folks and what, you know, the length of time and the whys.
Yeah, well, the travel thing I don't think has changed very much for Alaska residents. How it changed was the people who are coming from out of state now absolutely have to get a test before they come back into the state. They can't just get one at the airport. Alaskans still can, to my understanding. But
they still can, at no cost. The state pays. So
at no cost, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the state was getting inundated with people testing, not just tourists, but people who live out of state and work on the slope or whatever. And they said, no, you got to figure out another way to do that. Businesses that do that. The state's not going to pay for that for free. Plus, it's clogging up our, you know, we don't have the resources to do that. So they closed down the thing for the people from out of state. But if you're a Valdezite and you're coming in, it's so much better if you can get a test where you're coming from and have the result in your hot little hand when you hit the airport. Then the minute you get there, you're on what's called minimal contact. So yes, you can travel, but you're supposed to be eating only takeout and sending somebody else to the grocery store if you can, or at least just going there and coming back and not taking your whole family and hanging out. Minimal contact would not let you go to school. or to a job where you're going to meet the public. Maybe if you're going to stay in your own office, your own little cubicle, that would be minimal contact. But certainly going to school would not be minimal contact. If you don't do that, and you just say, okay, well, I'll just take a quarantine. I don't want to take any tests. I couldn't get one, and I don't want to wait at the airport. Then you are in quarantine, which means do not leave your house. Get somebody else to bring you your groceries. Get somebody else to bring you your takeout. Just don't be seen in public at all. Don't go outside of your own yard. And, you know, those may sound similar, but they really are different in terms of what you can do, but you still can't go to school on either one of them. Is that what you wanted to know?
Yeah, great. And with the schools, I think it's great to know, first off, who's on the committee making the assessments. Always nice to have put a face to who's making decisions. What's the timeline? When are you guys meeting? How often are you meeting? And what does that mean in terms of updates for the public, time-wise?
Well, we'll meet whenever there's some crisis. You know, like that's the same as calling up people when the snow is so deep or the ice is so bad that you don't think the school buses can go. That's when you summon your resources to say, hey, should we call a snow day? So it's exactly the same kind of principle that, whoops, there's something happening here in terms of how many cases. And so that might be Sean calling us together and the superintendent calling us all together, and it may be the public health nurse saying, whoa, hey, Sean, there's something brewing here, or the physicians or whoever. Or if there's something that's not working at the school, the teachers might be calling it. You know, it's a small enough committee that we're just going to meet when it needs to.
As needed. All right. And then, of course, I meet with Sean Arnold on Monday mornings. And so if there were any action or any news there, and then as well with you on Wednesday, so we'll have interview
updates.
Well,
and I'll also say that, of course, if we have to go into one of the more severe phases at 2 or 3 or 4, then we would probably be meeting, you know, we would plan a meeting saying, you know, when are we going to reevaluate this? So that might be, we might be able to announce that, oh, yeah, we're going to reevaluate it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever under those circumstances. But going into it, right at the moment, we're on phase one because there are no active cases in town, and hopefully people don't bring them back from summer vacation with them.
And I was mentioning that I have a press release that the Department of Health sent out, and I'll be publishing that in our KBAK email newspaper. And it's really fascinating. It's almost two full pages, just facts and figures and advancements that are happening behind the scenes all around the state in regard to testing, getting test kits, what manufacturers are doing. It gives a lot of credit to a lot of different organizations, groups, businesses, and municipalities. So it's kind of a little brighter side of what people can do when they put their mind to it. A lot of folks coming up with solutions. So I wanted to take a minute and give you the opportunity to recognize Valdez and where we're at with COVID. And I think likewise, there have been a huge amount of advancements. And I know initially at the hospital, you know, a whole revamp of the hospital, and that was done in quick time, trying to prepare. But since then, they're everyone's still working and not just sitting back waiting. This press release definitely gives evidence to the fact that people aren't just sitting back waiting for the shoe to drop. People are still preparing. So I don't know if you have any stories to share behind the scenes of how people are still preparing. Obviously, you're doing that with the schools, a big focus now. But any other folks or...
Well, yeah, so I guess the one that comes to my mind right today is people working together in ways that they would usually say, oh, that's just too complicated. So, for instance, to get this quick testing up and running, currently we've got the drive-through testing in the parking lot. Well, that was originally supposed to be just for asymptomatic people. It was meant for like the hospital workers and people that worked with Connecting Ties or Frontier, or whatever, that had a need to test. And then it was expanded And then the travel thing came in. So, you know, if you have to get a test after travel. And then it went to minimally symptomatic people as we found more people who were, as we had more tests, we could say, hey, if you just have a few symptoms, you don't need to be in the hospital in the ER. You know, we just want to know whether you've got COVID or not, and you want to know whether you've got COVID or not. If you don't need, if you're not hospital material, if you're not worrying about whether you can breathe or not, but you just want to know whether you have COVID or not, we can arrange that through the doctor's office to come in at those times. Well, that's not going to work all winter. You know, the tents blew down over the weekend with the winds that we had there. And the first time the snow load hits, tents are not going to work, here. So we have the city trying to figure out where we're going to do it. We have the medical clinics figure out who's going to do the extra testing because the hospital isn't allowed to under its license do it in a different way. We have the hospital perhaps helping out with the, still helping out with the scheduling and with the how do you do the billing so that we can get some of that from the insurance companies. The city may be kicking in for the people who don't have insurance so that every school kid could get that if they need it without having to worry about their insurance. And people working together in a way saying, let's just get it done and then we'll figure out the paperwork as we go along. But we'll figure out the paperwork somehow. Let's get it done. And I'm really impressed with that.
All right. Well, shout out to all those. I guess they know who they are if they're listening behind the scenes with putting that together. And that's happening at every level in local business, nonprofits, agencies, people really stepping up for our community, AVV opening two additional crisis lines to serve our community. And lucky that we have the funding in many cases to be able to provide that service, but it's not just funding, it's people as well. So
and people trying to make it work instead of saying, that's not usually my job, so I don't want to be bothered. Or that's not the way we run our business, so I'm not going to do that. No, people are changing their shifts to minimize intermixing with people. And people are in every business, in every place people who are making masks, people who are making sure that the right people get those. People who are saying, I'll buy extra crayons so the kids don't have to share. You know, just all those things.
Are there any needs at the school at this point?
I'm sorry, I don't feel like I'm an expert on that. There may be things,
but I
don't know what they are at the moment. Maybe I can get them to put out a list if there's things that would be helpful.
Yeah, well, let us know. We'd be happy to share with our listeners. As we know, people are pretty generous here in Valdez. So
yeah, the school has ordered a whole bunch of this and a whole bunch of that. Some of that is not going to come in on time. But if you think about masks for a whole, you know, several months, it will be nice if kids can have reusable ones of those. And a lot of kids have that. You know, their grandmother sent them some wonderful ones and, you know, whatever. But there's other kids that probably don't have enough to make it from laundry to laundry. And, you know, I'm sure that the town will come through when we know who needs what.
All right. And at the local level, our testing at this point, you said the days changed, mentioned that last week. If people are not feeling well, let's just end with that. I guess if they feel like they need a test for any reason,
right. So
I guess.
If you are asymptomatic and you're getting it because you came back from out-of-state travel or some of the businesses are still using this for asymptomatic employees, that is a specific number. I think it's 255-2063, if I've got it wrong. 6063, excuse me.
Where would you find that number? Like, how would you know what that number, how would you know where to look for that?
There are a bunch of posters all over town that say that, but I would call the hospital's number and tell them what you want, and they'll forward you to that person. If I didn't get it right just now. If you have symptoms, you should call your doctor's office or the ER if it's in the evening, and get put on the list that way, because they can advise you better as to who should test and when to get the best results, the fewest false positives and negatives. Or
Kathy,
there's no false positives,
are people,
but fewest false negatives.
Are people getting the follow-up test after travel?
I think a lot of people are now. It used to be that why bother because it's not going to come back for 10 days, but they've been getting them back to us in 3 or 4 days. It you know, kind of depending on what time of the week it is and how good the transportation to Anchorage and Fairbanks.
And what days are your testing again? Wednesday?
Oh, when do we do the testing?
Mm-hmm.
We changed it so that it would be an afternoon test. So there's 3:30 on Mondays, and there's morning 11 o'clock on Thursdays.
Oh, okay. Mondays and Thursdays. All right.
Sorry, no weekends because we don't have any transportation for samples on weekends.
Yeah, so the turnaround time, though, is like 3 to 4 days?
Well, and the turnaround time has pretty much always been great on the positives. The problem has been the negatives, that it was taking eons to get the tests back, and so you might as well just skip the test and just wait out your time. But now it is getting a little bit shorter, and so that will be, you can, you know, be done in 10 days instead of 14 by getting a test.
All right. Anything else to add before we let you go? But this great update on the schools and information and how that will all be processed and reported.
Definitely so. Have people be on the lookout for, they're having all kinds of activities to try to introduce people to the safety measures and their teachers and whatever ahead of time, instead of it all being one big chaos on the first day. So the
your email, people.
Pre-registrations and come meet your teacher one-on-one and all kinds of things happening. So people should be on the lookout for that.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kathy.
Thank you.